Well, it's time to break open God's Word in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which is available on its own podcast. Go to podcastcentralewtn.com or on Spotify or iCloud or SoundCloud or iTunes, whatever your favorite podcast medium is, and download the Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. Go, love to hear you break open God's Word into Psalms every single day. And today, we're going to continue our look at Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is a pretty long psalm. We're going to look at verses 10 through 15. We already looked at verses 1 through 9. Now, Psalm 72, the prescript says of Solomon. All right, so if you there's two psalms that you can say are attributed to Solomon. Psalm 127, which is one of the gradual psalms, Psalms 120 to 134. So 127 is attributed to Solomon, and this one, Psalm 72. However, there are some that study the psalms that say that this is actually David writing about his son Solomon. All right, so it's of Solomon. So you can interpret it as being written by Solomon because this is written of Solomon, or this could be David writing about Solomon. So either way, I have a tendency to think it's probably David writing about Solomon. But there are parts of it, like what we're going to start off with today, that makes me think that Solomon could have written it as well. What do I mean? Verse 10, the kings of Tarshish and the islands shall pay him tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall bring him gifts. So we know, for example, very early on in Solomon's reign, that the queen of Sheba, which is in on the continent of Africa, probably right around Ethiopia, came to see him, to visit. She heard about the wisdom of Solomon and came with a whole retinue of gold and camels and dromedaries and all these different animals, and came to visit and to honor Solomon and his wisdom, you know. So either David was prophetic in stating this, because obviously if this was written by David, he would have written it before he died, and all of these things happened after he died. So he either being prophetic about it, or it's Solomon writing, talking about praising God for look what's happened since I followed your ways and been faithful to you, which he would not always do. We know toward the end of his life, he, you know, he had hundreds of wives, you know, gave in to their desires for him to worship other gods. And so Solomon got off track. But during this time, you know, he may have written about the kings of Tarshish that visited him and paid tribute to him because of his extensive wisdom. In verse 11, before him all kings shall fall prostrate, all nations shall serve him. Right? So again, Solomon served during a time of peace. During the time of many of the kings, it was a time of war. Right, it was kind of war, like David, of course, there were many wars that David fought. After Solomon, there were a number of wars that were fought as well. But Solomon served during a time of peace. And so, you know, so the other nations around him that paid tribute to him were acknowledging his incredible, again, his incredible wisdom. And we know that Solomon wrote the Book of Wisdom and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, right? And we know for sure Psalm 127, you know, and so so his wisdom was very extensive and very well known throughout the known world at that time. Verse 12, for he shall save the needy when they cry, the poor and those who are helpless. So Solomon's wisdom and his heart extends beyond just his knowledge. He also has an incredible and beautiful heart for God. And that heart is shown in the way that he extends that heart to the poor and those who are helpless. He did not forget the cry of the poor. Right? He will have pity on the weak and the needy and save the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their souls. To him their blood is dear. All right? So Solomon is a wise king. He's also a very beneficent and very generous and very kind king. A king is one not just who rules, but who serves, right? Headship, leadership, authority is rooted in service, right? We talked about this before on the show, how Jesus in John's gospel washed the feet of the apostles, something that only a servant would do, a slave would do, to model in his own actions the way that the apostles were supposed to serve the church. And of course, Solomon, long before Jesus, understands this. And listening to his father in 1 Kings chapter 2, when his father gave him that kind of last discourse, his last words to his son, right before he took the throne, while David was still alive, by the way. And if we ever exegete Psalm 110, we'll talk about that. So he takes the throne while David is still alive, and he gives him his last words of encouragement, his last words of wisdom that he imparts to his son, right? And so he takes that to heart, and he rules not with an iron fist, but with the beautiful heart of God. Love that. Long may he live. May the gold of Sheba be given him, which of course is just exactly what happened. The gold of Sheba was given to him. They shall pray for him without ceasing and bless him all the day. You know, what's so cool about this is that when the king serves well, people want to follow him, right? When he's doing, exercising his kingship in the way that God has intended, not just with human mindset, the people want to follow him, right? Because they know that he is there. God has appointed him, and he's leading them, and God is assisting him in his leadership. It's no different than a father at home in a family, right? Or a priest who's the father of a parish family, right? Jesus gives the model of how they're supposed to serve. And so if the father is doing the things that he's supposed to do as a husband, as a father, if he's leading his family with the heart of Christ, then his wife and kids will follow him, right? Why? Because he's leading them deeper to intimacy with the Lord, right? Which is what Solomon is doing, at least in this part of his reign. Again, later on, different story, which shows us if you get too far away from God and get caught up in the world, you know, then you forget your roots, your foundation. And that's never a good thing.
Well, I can't help but think of the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, Shining Star, you know, because it's the setting the example, you know, shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. So as you follow in the example of those who are following after God, which is what is trying to pass along here, that's, we're able to go, okay, this is how I need to be living my life in order for me to shine to the world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's why we have to stay close to the Lord, you know, and that's why I have to follow him, not just with our lips, but with our hearts.
Amen.
Right? Our hearts have to be in it. It's a relationship. If your heart's not in it, then what's the point? Just like music. If your heart's not in it, you can tell.
Right.
You know, like, that doesn't sound like, that, you know, you can't feel it.
Right.
You know, the one thing I love about music is the feel.
Yeah.
You know, and if it doesn't matter even what genre it's in. You know, if you don't feel it, it's something that, to me, there's something missing. There's something that's not quite there. Just also like a meal, right? If you're eating something, there's something not quite there that kind of pulls everything together.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the Holy Spirit that pulls all of this together, that shows us and showing us the way to deeper intimacy with the Lord, and allowing us to hear God's voice in a very intimate and personal way, and to follow him with courage and conviction.
Yeah, and
you know, that's key.
And even to sponge out all the things that are keeping us from being in a place that we can receive and hear and obtain the wisdoms. Dr. Anders even talked about that today, of that, you know, if you're in a sinful mindset or headspace or, you know, body temperature, then you're in a place where you can't receive the wisdoms that you need to in order to understand how God works or how he wants to work in your life. So that's the gut check that we have to with ourselves. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, do what you need to do so that I can sponge out all that is the ick in my life and can make room for clean water.
Yeah, and you have to give the Holy Spirit permission to do that, though. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then it says, long may he live, may the golden sheep be given. They shall pray for him with assistance and bless him all the day. May grain be abundant in the land, waving to the peaks of the mountains. May its fruit rustle like Lebanon. May the people flourish in the cities like grass on the earth. And so I love that. So when the people are encouraged by their leaders, there's an abundance, there's a richness, there's a fruitfulness in their relationship. I love that.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.